Praise God. Praise God. God, we just love you so much. God, we thank you that you fight our battles. Thank you, God, that we have victory in all things. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you guide us. Thank you that you direct us. And Father, this morning as we continue to talk about your Spirit and how you guide us, God, I pray that you would just excite us, get us passionate about the things of you. Father, I pray that we would be joyful, God, and that your fruit would just well up inside of us. God, I pray that today as we celebrated communion, God, that we would just be reminded of your goodness. And Father, be with us today. Be with our message and just encourage us and speak to our whole being, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the kids get to stay with us this week, so you guys get a special treat, I guess. Stacy is gone. She's part of the acupuncture board for the province. So she gets to participate in that meeting, a meeting in Saskatoon today, unfortunately. So you guys get to be with me. But who here knows about the fruits of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit? No hands. Okay. You've never heard. Oh, there's some hands. Okay, good. Well, we're going to include the kids as a bit of a part of our message this morning. So we'll get to that in a moment. So we're in a series, Conversations About the Holy Spirit, that is, I'm hoping, I'm praying, is going to encourage you to be talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked last week about how there are so many mysterious aspects, questions, and misrepresentations, misinterpretations of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. In us and through us as we follow Jesus, as we follow the leading of the Spirit towards Jesus, and as we try to become more like Christ. So we're in this second week of it. And last week we talked about how the Spirit is life. The Spirit brings us life. The Spirit draws us back to life. And the Spirit restores life. And those were some pretty good talks we had. It was pretty exciting. So what Scripture tells us also is, though, that we can't even know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We can't know God without the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our life, and the Holy Spirit is essential. Amen? And if you missed the teaching, it's on our website, so take a look at that. And if you want to follow up or recap, it's there. But today we're going to talk about the Spirit as guide. Spirit as guide. When we talk about guidance from God, normally we talk about big decisions, don't we? Like, typically. You know, most people will come and say, hey, can you pray for this or can you look at this? And it's a big decision in life. You know, should I marry this person? Should I quit my job? Should I take this job? Should I buy this truck? Should I sell my house? Should I buy a new house? Should I move different towns? Should I date this person? You know, all sorts of different things. But people want God in on these big decisions, don't they? What they're doing, where they're going with things, and these decisions of what they are doing. And that makes sense that these big decisions are, because they're important. You know, globally, that's where people are. Not very often do people come for prayer and they want prayer into their being rather than their doing. Do you know what I mean? Let me be clear on this. Let's be clear. So as a culture, we're more interested in what you do than who you are. And I think we're all guilty of this. For instance, Gary, come up here. Okay, so we're going to talk, Gary, and I'm going to try to get close. I don't know. I don't think our mic's going to pick you up, but we'll talk through this. So, hi, I'm Dave. What's your name? Gary, okay? Good. Okay, that's easy. So, Gary, what do you do? You know, and you don't have to answer. But now I know about you, right? You're a mechanic. Yep. Oh, now I know who you are, and I can make some generalizations and some assumptions about who you are. Now let's try this again. Gary, come back up here. Sorry. Okay. Really, what Holy Spirit does with us and what Jesus does is what we should be doing with each other. Hi, I'm Dave. What's your name? Okay, Gary. Gary, who are you? What makes you tick? Gary, who are you becoming? That's really our question. That's really where our questions should be going. That should be what drives our direction and our discussion. See, the problem is nobody really cares anymore about who we're becoming other than Holy Spirit. And we need to be asking, we need to be seeking this out. You know, like that message I shared last year, it's who before do is what God cares about. God cares about who we're becoming before what we do. And culture says what I do shapes who I am, but the Spirit always determines the Spirit will determine who you are based on who you are becoming. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I meet people, they're more concerned with my job, but the Spirit wants to know, who am I becoming? Am I becoming like Jesus? That's the bottom line here. That's what matters. And the emphasis needs to be placed on being and becoming. So the Holy Spirit does two things. The Holy Spirit guides us to Jesus. He continually guides us to Jesus and constantly to Jesus. And those of us that are in Jesus, those of us who have made the commitment to become a follower of Jesus, are continually guided to Jesus. For those that don't yet know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is also guiding you to Jesus and into relationship with Jesus, right? So yeah. And the second thing is the Spirit guides us to being more like Jesus. And if you become more like Jesus, you are better able to obtain and contain whatever it is that you will be doing. If we become more like Him, we are more prepared to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do. Amen? So let's turn, not there yet, Ella. So we're going to turn in a second here to Galatians 5:16-25. But let me give you 5:16-25, and let me give you a quick background. So this teaching is telling the people about how the Spirit guides us. And this is a constant of what it means to walk by the Spirit and to walk with the Spirit. And, you know, As you think about it, as you walk through this, as you journey through life, you find there's a contrast between walking by flesh and walking by the Spirit. And this scripture is a contrast of what it means to walk by the Spirit and walk by flesh. So let's jump there now. That's Galatians 5:16-25. And it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So let's pause there. You know, that's really countercultural. That's cross-cultural. What contradicts what culture tells us, right? Doesn't it? Like, you think about that for a second. Culture tells us, do whatever you want, as long as you don't hurt people. And Paul here is saying, when you are born of the Spirit, when you become a believer, you don't do whatever you want, because it's not just about other people, but it's about you too. It's about not hurting you. And sometimes we do, or we want to do, exactly what ends up hurting us. And we aren't to live just for what we want. We are supposed to be led by the Spirit, right? Amen? But if you're led by the Spirit, as we continue reading, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's quite a list, right? But as we keep reading, now here's what we're going to do. I need somebody, when I say love, I want you to say love. Kayla, you say love. Thank you. Okay, peace. Say peace. Thanks, Lyle. Forbearance or patience. John. Kindness. Okay, thank you, Nora. Goodness. Okay. Faithfulness. Perfect. Thanks, Bob. And gentleness. And self-control. Perfect. Okay? So here's the thing, guys. Let's keep reading this now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There's a lot happening here. There's a lot there, a lot of good stuff. So you've probably heard or taught this or sung it at some point in your life. And today, I hope we see some new ways that with the Holy Spirit guides anyone who is open to be guided and wants to be guided by the Spirit. So Paul writes many letters to various churches, giving them instructions. And this is one of those instructions or directions. It's, for instance, another set of instructions is one we talked about this morning for communion, right? Where Paul says before communion that we examine ourselves, that we take a look at ourselves and not just look at our sin in our life, but to look and see if we are becoming more like Jesus. It's about what we're becoming rather than what we're doing. And Paul in Corinthians there says, no, I'm more interested in who you're becoming. Paul's encouraging us to look at our life. And do we see evidence of the Spirit at work in our life? Are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Of this love, yep, love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You guys are on it. And he is telling us to check ourselves out and make sure the evidence of Christ is in our lives before we take communion. In Corinthians, it talks about relationship. Are you in right relationship with others? And are you bringing yourself closer to Jesus? It's about the fruit of the Spirit. Is there evidence? And if there's no evidence of the fruit in our life, then we better start making some changes, right? Amen. So in Matthew, we read what Jesus has to say in chapter 12. It says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. That's right. And if a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Yep. So a tree is identified by its fruit. But what this is kind of saying, Jesus is saying, how do you know a tree is alive? If there is no fruit, it is dead. So if there's not good fruit, it's bad fruit. And a bad fruit is just as bad as no fruit. And if there's bad fruit or no fruit, it's dead. Right? It is dead. There has to be evidence that we know Jesus and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life. So let's look at these pieces. And the first one is love. Love. Thank you, Kayla. So the first one is love. It says, if we are in the Spirit, we will experience love. Love. Love is much bigger than a feeling. It's not mushy, gushy, huggy, kissy. In the New Testament, love is expressed by how we serve one another's needs. Not for our sake, but it's for them. And we serve them. When we love, we don't give up on people, kind of like Rick Astley. I think his name is Rick Astley. Anyways, you know, never going to give you up. Anyway, I saw something on Facebook that made me laugh about that, but don't worry about it. When we love, we serve others, not for what we get it, but it's for their sake. We serve them. We love them. How are you doing at loving? And then we got joy. Where's my joy? Yep. Thank you. Joy is powerful. Say joy. Thank you. I hear ya. Now, if you're going to live a resilient life, you need joy. Joy is essential to living the type of life that God would call us to live. Joy is that you delight and desire God, and not just his gifts. His gifts are awesome. They're a byproduct, but you desire God. It's not his gifts that make you love him. It's him, isn't it? It's who he is. It's his character. It's you delight in him. It's not your circumstances. It's not what's going on. Our joy is not connected to what's going on around you, but your joy is affected to or attached to God who never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Joy is not based on your circumstances. Joy is based on who God is. Dr. Timothy Keller says it like this: happiness is perishable pleasure in a blessing. Joy is an imperishable pleasure in the blessor. God is the blessor. He never changes. Happiness is perishable, but because at some point or another, every blessing passes. But joy is based on the blesser who is never going away, never changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how are you doing with your joy? Okay, so we got love. Love. Thank you. Joy. I can't hear you. Okay, peace. Who's peace? Thank you, Lyle. So peace is trust in God. It is confidence that no matter what is going on in our lives, that we have peace. Why? Because we trust God. We have confidence. We are not living anxious lives based on what culture or the climate around us is happening, what's happening with people around us, but it's based on God. Amen? And then we got patience. Forbearance, I guess. Thanks, John. So this is one of that many struggle with, right? Or maybe it's just me. But man, driving in the cities and on highways, and boy, sometimes I just know where I want to go and I just go. And I pick the fast lane because I know where I want to go. Even if I have to go across five lanes to get to the fast lane, I'm getting there. That's how I do it in LA and Vegas and everywhere we drive. And I want to get to where I'm going. But patience, man, it's defined by the ability to suffer. But for me, patience is a challenge. I know driving, Seth and I, we came up with a word. We call people Jeebos, right, Seth? We call people Jeebos instead of calling them an idiot or a moron, all that stuff. I know, not nice names, but something so that Seth and I don't get in trouble from Stacy, really is what it is. And it's much nicer. But Jeebo. But really, patience, like I said, is defined by the ability to suffer. Even endure wrongdoing and not getting bitter or angry. Patience is powerful. Thank you. Patience is the ability that even when we are wronged, we do not melt down. But hear me when I say this, guys. I'm not saying that you are going to be wronged. It is not saying that you're going to suffer. No, the opposite. We don't expect suffering. We don't expect to be wrong. But if it happens and someone or something wrongs you, how do you react? Do you get angry? Do you get bitter? Or do you smile and say, praise God, God's got this. God's got my battles. God is leading me to victory. Right? Amen. Then we got kindness and goodness. And Paul uses this Greek word here when speaking about this. And I've been practicing all week, so let's see if I get it right. And the word is agathousm. And it means uprightness of heart and integrity. And what I find interesting is when I think of kindness and goodness, integrity and uprightness of heart is not the words I think of. But what Paul is driving at is one of the things that show kindness and goodness is that we aren't hypocritical. We're the same people here on Sunday as we are at the coffee shop or at the hockey game or the football game. Like, Gary, when you and I went to the game, was I the same guy there as I am here? Well, thanks. I'm glad I didn't yell at the ref that much. We're not throwing toilet paper out on the ice, right? We are the same people in private as in public as well. We are transparent. We are honest. This fruit is a big fruit. Believe me. Kindness and goodness. And then we got faithfulness. Who's faithfulness? Earl, are you faithfulness? Okay. So what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is fearlessness. It is courage. It is reliability. People with faithfulness are bold and assertive. Faithfulness is one of those pieces that is a key building block. Well, I guess obviously it's a key building block. It made the list, right? But how are you doing with faithfulness? Are you courageous? Are you reliable? Are you fearless? I pray that you are. And then we got gentleness. And gentleness is humility. It's the ability to be sensitive to other people. People who have the gift of gentleness, they're peacemakers. They are peacemakers and they are good listeners. Now, let me tell you, peacemaking and good listening is hard work. Would you agree? Yeah. Mom and dad's got their hands up all over the place. I mean, we never have fighting in our house. We never have to be peacemakers with Ella, Nora. No, 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 no. Just kidding. But in the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, man, peacemaking, good listening. Boy, are you gentle with others? Are you humble towards others when they come to you with issues, when they come talk to you? And the last one is self-control. Ella, thank you. I could kind of hear you back there. This one is interesting. But if you have the other seven fruits, then you have self-control, the ability to control yourself. So why is this so important? You have heard these fruit before, right? But if you have love, you need to have self-control with your love. When you have joy and patience and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness, you need self-control because you need to be able to respond and control yourself in order to respond appropriately, don't you? Yeah, that's right. It's easier than you think. So it's interesting. You've heard them before. But Paul is helping us notice something. Remember this. These eight fruit, these develop in us, do these develop in us naturally? And I would say no. These are something we cannot just let happen. Oh, now I got peace. Oh, now I got joy. It just doesn't naturally happen. But they are developed in us, in our lives, supernaturally. I look at this list and I think, I'm a loving person, right? Like, I think I'm pretty loving. But peacemaking, that's kind of lacking. And I'm always stressing, or I'm anxious, or, you know, maybe you're saying that, or am I joyful, but I'm not courageous and bold with others. Or maybe I'm bold and courageous. I have faithfulness, but I don't mind telling people, you know, what I think they're doing wrong. I don't mind telling them how they're sinning, but I'm not gentle about it. So what we do is we take our natural temperaments and we take our natural gifts, because those are all gifts. Those are all Holy Spirit gifts, which is why we spend so much time walking through them and talking through them. And we think that that's the fruit of the Spirit right there. But it's not. It's not. Those are natural temperaments and personalities. The fruit of the Spirit grows supernaturally in us. And here's how I know. When Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit, he uses the Greek word that is singular. This is not the fruits of the Spirit. It's not a fruit salad. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It all is one. One fruit, eight characteristics, eight qualities. And that means it is one fruit that grows in unison together. It's growing together. It's developing together. It's not that I'm growing in love, but I'm not growing in patience. That's fruits again. It's that all these are growing together, making up the fruit. I am growing in them all at the same time. In my natural personality, in my natural temperament, I grow them individually. In my giftings, I grow them individually as God gives me those gifts. Maybe a little peace at a time, maybe a little joy, a little this. But supernaturally, I am growing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And here's the one thing. Our natural personality and temperaments, they are all really self-centered. They're all about me. What do I mean by this? Some of us might be really funny people, really sweet people, but it's because we need to be loved. We need to make ourselves sweet because we have this overwhelming need to be loved. Some of us are assertive and bold, but we're not very gentle. But our assertiveness and boldness actually come from pride, right? Do you see that in people? Now, let me tell you, assertiveness without gentleness is a superiority complex. But gentleness without assertiveness is an inferiority complex. And when we replace being self-centered with being God-centered, assertiveness and gentleness grow together. And that's amazing. That's some of the supernatural growth that we see in ourselves. We need to stop walking around based on our temperaments, and we need to allow Holy Spirit to supernaturally guide us and grow this and allow us to... and guide us to allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives. Sorry. And what Paul says is the fruit of the Spirit, singularly, unless you are growing in all of them, you actually aren't growing in any of them. So when you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads us and grows them in us supernaturally, we need to grow in them all at the same time together. You can't just grow in one and not the other. So kind of a different line. I understand. It's different than we thought and what we've been taught for so long. And it's a different perspective. It's a paradigm shift. But we need to understand this. This is so crucial. So the next thing is how do we get in on this Holy Spirit guidance? Now, Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what makes this interesting is understanding the word flesh. And the Greek word for flesh that Paul actually used here is sark. Now, you all know this. The words, translating words from English to other languages and other languages to English. It's hard, right? So let's talk about what sins need to be removed then, and let's make it clear. So let's look at verse 19, and I think this is a good list here. If we look at things that are the flesh, though, it's like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, drunkenness, and orgies. That makes sense. They're fleshly, right? But if you look at verse 19, you continue on, there's other things there like hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, pride, dissensions, factions, and envy. Well, that has nothing to do with the body. Now I'm confused. How does that have to do with flesh? So what Paul is getting at here is he says, when you're crucified the flesh, he said, even, he's saying every human being that exists has two operating systems at one time, just like a computer. We were born into a flesh operating system, but when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, when we get saved, we do a system upgrade and get the spiritual operating system in us. It's like going from Windows 95 to Mac OS 11, and it's a complete different. It's an upgrade. And, you know, I don't know if you went Windows 95 to Windows, because I don't know. I don't like Windows, so I don't even know what the new Windows is. But you know what I'm saying here. And what we talked about last week was when we were created at Adam and Eve to be fully human, we were without sin and created to operate in the spiritual operating system. But when Adam and Eve rebelled from God's plan, it drove us into this flesh operating system and things changed. Both the spirit operating system and flesh operating system has passions and desires. Ella, no, back aside, Ella. So when you see and when you look at the word desires here in the scripture, at the end of the scripture, what it doesn't mean is evil desires. It doesn't mean evil desires. It means over desires. It means making things the center. So how do I mean by that? Okay, let's look at this flesh operating system. What it does is it takes things and puts them into overdrive. So let's look at some stuff. Money. There is nothing wrong with money. Money's a good thing. But when it's put into overdrive, it's something else, isn't it? Or family. Family is good. Children are good. Sometimes. But children are good. Success, careers, and life, and just being successful. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Sorry. Sex. Sex is good. I was hoping the kids were going to be gone. I forgot they were gone. So now it's awkward. But sex is good. But what the flesh operating system does is it takes these things, none of which are bad, and it takes them from being a good thing, and it makes them the ultimate thing and puts them into overdrive and things really rev up. And this takes these things that were good and makes them toxic. Approval is another one. That's a good thing, right? The Bible says a good reputation is good. A good name is to be sought. Or love. We all want to be loved. And love is actually one of the fruits of the Spirit. But when human approval gets sucked into the center and needing to be loved, what happens is the flesh operating system drives it into overdrive, and then it becomes the ultimate. And what happens when someone doesn't like you? Or what happens when someone criticizes you? You will do anything to make them happy, to make them like you. And you will give up who you are just to have them like you. That's how much it drives you. And any one of these can become the ultimate, the center, and they're constantly stressing you out. It could be job, it could be your money, it could be your kids. And the flesh operating system lies to you, and it condemns you and pushes you to become someone that you're not. See, the flesh operating system distorts good things. God created things and produced out of control and desires and fear and condemnation. It overproduces them and drives them to the ultimate rather than just a good thing in your life. Now let's look at the spiritual operating system. It has the same things. Weird. It's the exact same list. But you got money. You got family. You got children. You got success. Of course, you got sex. You've got love and you've got approval. It has the same things, but it only has one thing in the middle. And it says that Jesus is the only one who can satisfy me. Jesus is the ultimate. Jesus is the center and the focus. And when Jesus is the ultimate, and when he is at the center, you can enjoy all those things that God created the way he intended them to be, especially sex and money and all those other things. I'm digressing quickly. Anyways, the flesh operating system makes you a captive, where the spirit operating system wants to set you free to enjoy them the way that God intended. The Holy Spirit is constantly guiding us toward the spiritual operating system. Amen? So, as we said earlier at the start of the message, the Spirit does two things. The Spirit guides us to Jesus. Repeat after me. The Spirit guides us to Jesus. Now let's add constantly and continually, because that's what's happening. The Spirit guides us to Jesus constantly and continually. Why? Because we need him. We need it. And if we read in 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continually guides us to Jesus. I remember working at Safeway, and if someone asked me for help, we were told we could do one of two things. Well, we could only do one, but one was what typically people would do. Where are the pickles? I need some garlic, Polsky, or Gorky, right? Nora drinks pickle juice. Doesn't make her a pickle, but anyway. So you need pickles. So we say, sir, excuse me, can you tell me where the pickles are? And I look up as an employee and like, yeah, it's over there. Row like 10 or 11 or maybe 12. Could be row 5 by the burgers. I don't know. It's over there somewhere. Just go find it. And when you're walking, you're just constantly searching and looking and, oh, but there's some bacon. Oh, there's relish. Oh, that's like pickles. Oh, there's ketchup. Oh, there's this. And there's these things all around you. But what the Holy Spirit does is you is just like what Safeway really wants you to do. And the person comes, excuse me, do you know where the pickles are? And you're like, yeah, follow me. Let me take you to the pickles. Follow me. Let's go together. Let's go and find the pickles. And it's like the Holy Spirit says, just come with me. Come on, let's go to Jesus. I'm going to take you to Jesus. Let's go. Jesus is right here. I'll take you there. I'm going to guide you all the way to Jesus. Let's go. Let's go find Jesus. Because in the end, it's about Jesus. And we need Jesus, don't we? Amen. We need him. And we need the guide to get us there. Because when we have the guide, our heads aren't on a swivel. Oh, I need that. Oh, maybe I need some mayo. Maybe I need the ketchup. Oh, canned ham. You know, we're going to the pickles, and the Spirit is going to take us there. Do you know what I mean? I'm not using just a silly explanation for fun. That's how the Spirit works. He takes us, and he guides us, and he leads us, and he takes us right where we need to go. Over and over again, he leads us because we need it. The Spirit is the guy that leads us to Jesus continually and constantly because he's taking us there. The Spirit doesn't just point you and say, over there. No, he takes you. He is taking you. And we need to be reminded over and over again. Romans 8, verse 16 tells us, and the Spirit himself joins with our spirits to say that we are God's children. See, the Holy Spirit fills us and reminds us daily that despite our behaviors and our bad behaviors and despite our good works, not because of them, but despite them, he reminds us over and over again that you belong to Jesus and you are loved by Jesus. Amen? We need to know that Jesus loves us. We are loved no matter what, and what we do, no matter what, wherever we have gone, Jesus loves us. And the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us to Jesus, and we need to go to Jesus. That's our end. That's what we need to desire. That's our center. And you need to know that you belong to Jesus. And with Jesus, he will continue to try and lead you to this path. But what happens is sometimes we want to jump back to our corrupt operating system. And that's where the Spirit says, no, come with me. We're going to Jesus. Only Jesus can fill that spot. Don't worry about the mayo. Jesus is here. And the Spirit continually guides us to Jesus, reminding us that we are no longer controlled by that flesh operating system. Amen? The second thing is the Spirit guides us into being more like Jesus. So not only does the Spirit take us to Jesus, he guides us to being more like Jesus. And so when we look at 2 Corinthians 3:8, it says, and so we are transfigured, which means changed. Much like our Messiah, our lives gradually become brighter and brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. Is your life becoming brighter and brighter and getting better? Are we becoming like Jesus? That is the work of the Spirit in our lives, helping us become more like Jesus, replacing old habits of the flesh operating system and replacing them with the Spirit operating system. And that's why we all need to hear the Spirit. We could go to church and not hear God or experience God or feel God. And each and every one of us need to experience God. We need to experience his presence. We need to go to church and actually just experience it and not just sit on our butts and do nothing to experience it. But we need Holy Spirit to lead us and to feel him. We need to experience the power and presence of God. So how do we hear the Spirit's guidance? We need a few habits to form maybe through this. First off, we need to, we can hear the Spirit's guidance through the Word, God's living Word. He is the living Word. God is the living Word. He is the good news. And we need to spend time in the Scriptures. It's funny, if you took 10 to 15 minutes a day for a month, even a year, whatever, your life would be different. It's not the 10 to 15 minutes. It's the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to lead you, to change you. But there's often two reasons why we don't spend time in the Word. One is our habits. Our habits don't allow us to or don't dictate us that is important. And the second thing is when we go there, we don't like what we see. See, Scripture tells us who Jesus is, doesn't it? And if we aren't careful, we're going to get this picture of Jesus being all lovey-dovey and nice and friendly and all, good old Jesus, eh? No, Jesus stood in a Roman Empire and declared a kingdom that was different than the way of life at the time. See, they didn't crucify Jesus because he was nice and friendly and lovable. They didn't crucify Jesus because he was healing people. They crucified him because he was dangerous to their way of thought. Because he was different, he was preaching of a kingdom of heaven and not worrying about a kingdom of earth. And if we allow the Spirit, he will lead us to that Jesus. He will give us the boldness and the love for this world and for the people, just like Jesus had. Jesus was bold, he was flipping tables over, and he was loving people. The second is, we need to change this by and hear the Spirit's guidance through other people, through other Christians. And we need each other. We need Christians in our lives. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about how God gives gifts to everyone, every one of his children. And there's a purpose, and that's to build each other up. And we need to challenge each other. We need the cream to rise up. We need the heavy stuff to rise up and be used. And the cream is the best part, isn't it? I like a little cream on my strawberries. And the third thing is through the moments when we gather. It's not perfect attendance. It's not, you made 99% of Sundays, you get the gold star. It's not perfect attendance that matters in church. It's not just being here, like I said earlier. It's actually being active. Nothing changes in your life from just being here, not just being together. We could get together every day and nothing would change between us. What causes change is building relationships with one another. It's intimacy. It's developing a relationship, isn't it? It's connecting with each other. It's not just showing up. It's leaning in. It's digging in. It's participating. It's singing. It's encouragement. It's really getting our elbows dirty, getting our fingernails dirty, and getting in there, rolling up the sleeves. It's saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, change me. Jesus, change our church. Jesus, change our community. That's what it comes down to. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to guide us. Guys, we need the Spirit. Spirit is life. The Spirit brings life. The Spirit restores life. The Spirit leads us to Jesus. And the Spirit makes us more like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, we love you. We thank you that you sent your Spirit to lead us and guide us. And God, I pray that this week we would move forward in Holy Spirit victory, in Holy Spirit boldness, and in Holy Spirit love. That the fruit of the Spirit would be evident and continually supernaturally grow in our lives. Father, I am so excited for what's happening. And God, I pray that you would lead us and guide us into all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mary's going to lead us in a song, guys. And then we're going to get ready for the AGM right after here. But don't go anywhere. We're going to have some donuts and some more coffee. Be blessed and hang tight for a few minutes, okay? Let's sing this song with Mary.